radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 53. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You see, you and I are not supposed to live a unilateral life. We're not an island unto ourselves. We're supposed to depend on each other. And the Bible says Jesus ascended unto heaven, and he gave gifts to men, and he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or maturing of the saints onto the work of the ministry. And pastors don't get to be pastors just because they've decided to be a pastor. They basically have to be trained and get some experience behind them. Why? Because the Christian faith is always one generation from extinction. And so we have to work it out. It has to matter to us. And if you don't put any blood, sweat, and tears into something, you don't appreciate it. Most of us in this room remember when our parents maybe made us pay for our own car or pay for half of our car or whatever. It wasn't easy street. It wasn't given sometimes to us. And we were told you needed to get a job or you needed to go to work and you need to get up out of bed and get to school. Whatever. There was a little bit of cracking of the whip. And what I want you to recognize is that with God, he doesn't put it on the lower shelf. Some things are. The gospel, it's so simple. Someone has well said that genius is seen in the fact of being able to take something very profound and difficult and express it in very simple terms. Think about that for a moment. There could be nothing more simple than a baby in a manger. I mean, it's just like, wait a minute, blow all of the big stuff, the Isaiahs, the Jeremiahs, the Daniel 70 weeks of years prophecies, you know, all of these amazing things. Just set them aside for a minute and just take a breath. And remember, there was a baby, a baby. Everybody loves a baby. But the reality is Jesus came as one of the most approachable and amazingly wonder-filled kind of a reality for us. You've heard it where it says, come peasant, come prince to receive him. You know, he's available to both the higher echelons and the lower. Jesus is approachable. And this is the way God intended for the narrative to be. And when you see verse 1, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Another verse about him being the arm of the Lord, Psalm 118, verse 15. The Bible says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Isaiah 63, verse 12 says this, picking up the middle of a sentence, is God led the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. So again, you get the idea of the arm of the Lord being there, dividing the water before him to make himself an everlasting name. Whose self? Himself. Jesus, God. He made himself an everlasting name when he split the waters of the Red Sea. Exodus 8:19, the Bible says that all those magicians who were at Pharaoh's side kept doing the things that Moses was doing. God didn't tell him that was going to happen. Cast your rod down, it turns into a serpent. They cast down theirs, and theirs turned into a serpent. You don't have time to say, excuse me, I need to go outside and talk to God about this. But his rod ate their rods, right? What an amazing thing. And then he takes it and he takes it back up. But the magicians were hard to convince. But there came a point where he did something they could not do. And the Bible says in Exodus 8:19, the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Where's the finger? It's on the hand. Where's the hand? It's on the arm. Okay? This is the finger of God. And Jesus even referred to this when they started saying he casteth out devils by Beelzebub. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know, when the kingdom of God came upon him was when Jesus was in the room because he was the king. When the king walks in, the kingdom of God is there. Okay? And that's what Jesus was. He was on-site king, and he was looking over what he is one day going to personally occupy. At that time, he was just walking around and getting things ready. Because the kingdom of God did not dawn at that time in its physical form. Yes, the spiritual side did, but not the physical. The Bible says in John 12, about belief again, John 12, verse 37, who hath believed our report? But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him. Think about that. Belief. Who hath believed our tidings? Even though Jesus had done many miracles before them, yet believed they not upon him. Verse 38 says, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? So this is a text 700 years prior that is verified as being pertinent 700 years later. God was thinking of Jesus. Think about that. 700 years later, the arm of the Lord. Revealed. Revealed. Galatians talks about, I think it's chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, seen of the angels, declared unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, justified in the Spirit, received up into glory. It was an amazing thing. God was manifested in the flesh. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And I want you to know who. It's to those who believe. Who has believed our tidings? And our tidings are that the arm of the Lord has been revealed. Our tidings are that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. You recall, right? John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He made all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And the Bible says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we know who it is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Whoa! He made it all. He made the dirt that we walk upon. He made the waters that we maybe sail or use our boats upon or fish from. He made the fish. He made you and He made me. Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. I want you to know He is worth believing in because there's nothing else out there. There is no other way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want to know who this Jesus was? He's the one who became flesh. He was God. He created everything. And the Bible says now, Hebrews, He upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds it all. That chair stays together because He says, stand fast. All those molecules want to fly apart. They'll tell you that. They resist each other, those different polarities, the protons, the neutrons, the electrons, they want to fly apart, but He upholds all things. Listen, you are held together because He says, hold fast. I like that. I just like going there. Thank you for being here so I can tell you that. Because, you know, when the pipes get to say something, you know, they get cleaned out a little bit too. Just let me have a moment here. I'm going to have a moment. I'll tell you what, Jesus is good. And I've seen Him. He's been revealed to me. I see Him all over the Scriptures. I see Him in the day-to-day of my life. I know my Redeemer liveth. Just like Job said, and I shall see Him in the latter day. Even though the worms eat my flesh, I'm going to see it with mine own eyes, and not another. And I'm going to stand there with Him in that day. I'm going to see it with my own eyes. That's what Job said. First book of the Bible, oldest book of the Bible, we believe. And there he's saying, I'm going to see Him in the latter day. If you know Jesus, you're going to see Him too. You're going to raise. He's going to raise some to everlasting contempt, some to everlasting bliss, and will be shining as the stars forever. That's you and me if we know Jesus this morning. I want you to recognize further in this passage that He does say, about believing, who had believed, right? We talked about his right arm. We talked about those things. But remember this. Believing is absolutely essential. In fact, it's so early in the Bible. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Abraham predated Job, but the book of Genesis did not predate the book of Job. So we say the one's older than the other, but the one has more pertinent information than the other. So Genesis is the book of beginnings, and God said to us, or actually demonstrated for us, how we're supposed to understand who He is, how we get to Him, how we're supposed to access God. And it was through belief. Abraham believed God, even though he was a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. There's none of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the Bible says that God called Abraham up out of Ur of Chaldees, Ur the city in the area of the Chaldees, which is kind of Iran-Iraq area up in there in the northeastern part of the Middle East. And you see, he is called out of that area and said, told to go down into Canaan area. He gets up out of Ur and he goes. He just listens. Now, you don't maybe put these two things together, but the Chaldean areas is where we get the Magi. There's Babylon, and there's all these astronomers and all these people who are there who are magicians. And there's a whole lot of deep knowledge that came from there. Even Nimrod and the Tower of Babel and all of the false religions were spawned from that area. So you're talking about a place steeped in idolatry. And only one guy could hear God, and it was Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I need you to get out of there. And so he does. He leaves. And when he gets down into Canaan, he sits down and he never ever in his entire life does he ever get to have a personal piece of property he can live on. He bought some land to to bury his wife. That's it. That's all he owned. He didn't have his promises fulfilled, but he believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so God began to bless him. He says, you're going to have more people than ever. He says, your name's Abraham, father of many. I'm going to make changes. It's going to be Abraham. I'm going to change it to Abraham. That means father of multitudes. He's like 100 years old. He doesn't have any kids. Okay, he's got one from his handmaid because they tried to take matters in their own hand. That was done in those days. And he gets Ishmael, and that's caused more problems than we can even number today. All of those Arab nations spawned from the Ishmaelites. But there was one, and it was after his wife was past the age of childbearing, and even there he said, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. God says you're going to have a baby about this time next year. And he did. It was a miracle. She couldn't have children. They did have children after that year, and bless God, he got the credit. But then it got even worse. What happened? He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom your soul loves, and offer him to me in an offering in a mountain I'll show you. And he took him to Mount Moriah, which is where the Temple Mount is. Isn't it cool? You just start seeing all these little quick things happen. This is all connected because God's story is, listen, documentable, verifiable. You trace the scriptures and you begin to say, okay, I get it, it's real. Okay, you can't keep denying it when it's obviously real. So he gets his son, he takes him to Mount Moriah, and often another sermon another day. Take your son. He takes him up, and as he's getting ready to plunge the knife in, or take the knife to his throat, more likely, God says, stay your hand. And there was a ram in the thicket, and he used that. He says, I now know that you love me. I now know that you really believe me. So his faith and works go together? I think so. He had to have a candlelight dinner with Sarah to have the baby, even though she was 90 and he was 100. Right? Had to have a candlelight dinner, a little date. But then also he had to take his son. And he had to put him on an altar. And somehow he had such a love for his son, and his son had a love for him. He lay down on that altar. That boy could have overpowered a 100-year-old man, I think. 120, 115 or whatever by that time, probably. And what I'm saying is that God is amazing. And what I want to drill home for us is that belief is absolutely important. It's not election without any energy on our part. God knows the end from the beginning. So he, whom he did foreknow, he justified. He foreknew who would believe. And he said, it's worth it. And you think about that. There are times when you got to think about things, right? Some of you fellas, you got a project around the house. You want to put a deck out back, or you want to add another, maybe break out a wall, or you got to make a big mess, right? But you in your mind are thinking, it's worth it, because by the time we get done, we'll have that deck or we'll have that bigger room. You see, when God looked at the whole of creation, he knew man would sin, because left to himself, man's going to do what he would do. And he's innocent, but there's going to be problems. He's going to have one choice, and there's going to be the devil afoot. And he knew all of this. It was only a matter of time. We saw in our study of Genesis chapter 3, it didn't happen 3 days after he was created. He fell. There was probably a good amount of time before that happened. And so what I want you to think in your mind's eye is that when we're looking at this, we're looking at God saying the main way you get saved is through believing, and whom he foreknew, he called and justified and glorified. And so it's about belief. You can deny or you can receive it, but it's left up to you. Now, if you believe something, it's going to change you. I mean, if you were getting ready to sit down and you were going to eat your food and you cut into your piece of chicken parm and it's kind of fleshy in there, you're not going to eat it. That's chicken. You don't eat that. You could get kind of botulism or something, right? What to get you? You get that, this stuff can kill you. If you believe it, you're not going to eat it. My point is this. When you believe something, if you believe there's a greater narrative, if you believe there's a greater end in sight, if you believe there's a greater story going on than just you, then it will change your life. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. We so appreciate you taking time to listen to these daily broadcasts. This week we have a special invitation for you. We're having our candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock. We'd love to have you join us for this special time to focus ourselves upon the true meaning of Christmas. It would be a wonderful time to come out and join us in person as we go to the Word and reflect upon the real meaning of Christmas. God bless and Merry Christmas.